Support for this episode comes from T-Mobile. We're a lot more than just baseball fans. We're baseball fanatics. And thanks to T-Mobile, we can stay connected to the game we love with 5G in more places. T-Mobile is your ticket to the game. So whether you're home or away, you're never far from your favorite team with America's largest and fastest 5G network. Don't get caught looking. Switch to T-Mobile, the leader in 5G today. Fastest according to OpenSignal Awards based on average speeds in USA 5G experience report, April 2021. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
This is episode 88 of A Pod of Their Own. I am Allison McCaig, and I am joined this week by my lovely co-host, Linda Cervich. Hello, Linda.
Hey, Allison.
Just the two of us this week, but we have plenty to talk about, so we will make up for it. Absolutely. I figured we'd open the show this week. We're talking about the Mets a little bit. The most prominent thing other than, you know, what went on the field in the past week, which was some pretty good baseball, to be honest. We did want to mention, and this actually, in true Apato fashion, this happened like right after we recorded our last episode last week. I was like, oh, of course, like something relevant to the show would happen right after we finish recording. That tends to happen. Like we recorded the podcast on Tuesday night last week, and literally right after that, later that night, because they were on the West Coast this week, so it was a late night game. So after we recorded the podcast, Marcus Stroman was pitching in a game against the Diamondbacks, and Bob Brenly, the Diamondbacks broadcaster, made a racist remark about Marcus Stroman during the game, and it was a very odd. The whole thing was very odd because it was just completely unprompted. What he said, and he called it, quote, a poor attempt at humor that was insensitive and wrong. And I was like, what was the joke you were making? I'm very confused, because it was basically like Stroman was wearing a do-rag, as he does pretty much every time he pitches, and Bob Brenly said something like, are those the same do-rags that Tom Seaver used to wear when he was on the Mets? And it was like, what prompted you to say that?
And look at his, and the color guy or the other guy said nothing. Like, he didn't react at all to him. To his credit, like, he didn't feed into the racism.
Yeah, like, we do know that Bob Brenly has a history of making these sorts of comments, because he also made a coded remark about Fernando Tatis Jr. I can't remember, it was last year or the year before, but he talked about the, quote, bike chain hanging around his neck. And so, like, this isn't the first time that he's made a disparaging remark like this that's racially coded.
And when I was researching him too, he was the one that started the uproar about Manny Machado putting down his bat.
Oh boy.
There was a whole big thing, like he got a hit and then he just put his bat down. You must remember it.
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, and then he got a hit and just put his bat down, and Bob Brenly went off. And people were like, what are you going off about? He just put his bat down.
Yeah, yeah. So like, this is
like,
just,
he went off about him disrespecting the game. It's like, how?
This is just like old white dude shit. Like, that it's just, it's nonsense. And I know that in particular has a history of doing this. I don't know about his partner, his broadcasting partner, but to, like you said, Linda, to his partner's credit, he didn't react. I think he was just like stunned into silence, to be perfectly honest, because he just didn't react at all. So I mean, that's good, but yeah, it was completely out of nowhere. Like, it's not like they were talking about Tom Seaver. It's not like they were talking about like that era of pitching. It's not like they were talking about what players wear. They weren't talking about any of that stuff. It just came completely out of nowhere.
And okay, too, you said the same. Rojas said the same thing you did. He said, if he was trying to tell a joke, I didn't get it. Like,
yeah, like, what's funny?
And Jeff Rojas is credit. He came down pretty hard on Brenly too.
Yeah. Yeah.
He said, and you know, that goes along the larger issue in baseball, but he said, you have a platform, use it better. And that just goes into like all of baseball, how these commentators have a platform and they could use it for good. They could use it for marketing the game. They could use it for marketing these fun dudes. And all we see is racism, complaining about the game, and old man back in my day takes.
Yeah, it's awful. It's awful. And he is now taking some time off after in the aftermath of that incident. He said in a statement, beginning today, I have voluntarily decided to take some time off to listen, reflect, and devote my attention to awareness training related to diversity and inclusion to enhance my understanding and appreciation of others. I plan to return to the booth next homestand, hopefully a better person.
Oh, yeah, which like, taking an hour sensitivity training course, like, come on. Exactly. You are who you are. Like, he's so what, almost 70 years old, and yeah. You didn't know not to say that at this point. Like, this is who you are, dude.
Exactly. Like, these sensitivity trainings, like, don't fix the problem. Like, I mean, you can do them and fine, and if you learn something, that's great, but it's not going to fix the problem. Like, these white dudes are pretty set in their ways, and it's not going to fix the problem that, like, this is the demographic that broadcasters almost universally are.
Yep.
Like, and, you know, it's kind of a similar, like, situation with Tom Brenneman in the sense that, obviously, you know, Brenneman's digression was way worse because he used a slur. But it's kind of a similar situation in the sense that, like, if this is what you say on the air, what do you say when the doors are closed?
Yeah.
Like, this is what you're comfortable just, like, saying without being prompted, and you're, like, on the mic, and you're with, like, how do you behave when you're just, like, having a couple beers with your friends, like, behind closed doors? Like, that, I shudder to think what is said.
Somebody on the Cubs said that it was somebody who used to play for the Cubs. It said Brenly used to talk about him all the time, too. And I can't remember who it was. And he said it was usually the, like, Latin players that Brenly would single out.
Oh, yes. Yes. Oh, I forget who said that, too.
Yeah. And Josh Duplantier? He brought it up unprompted, too, in his post game after his most recent start, too.
Yeah. And, you know, it's not only like it's good that, you know, we've seen an outpouring of support for Stroman from players and things like that, and his manager going to bat for him and defending him. That was really good to see. But like,
yeah, Stroman, even that's a stretch in nowadays.
Exactly. Exactly. Side eyeing Tony La Russa, who literally advocates for his own players being thrown at. Very cool. Just ridiculous shit. So at least Luis Rojas is defending his player against this nonsense. But like, it's not just, you know, Bob Brenly's comment. Like, and we've talked about this on the podcast in the past in relation to other players that have posted, you know, excerpts and screenshots of the nasty messages that they've gotten from fans that contain slurs. But Stroman posted one in the aftermath of this, of like fans calling him the N-word and stuff like that. And like, that's like just one example of countless for him. Like, he's like, this is every day he deals with this. He's just posting one example. Like, make no mistake, that is not the only time that has happened to him. It happens to him many, many times a day.
Yeah. And I think there wasn't even an article about that, about how Brenly, you know, gave a voice to his racism, but, you know, people, you know, think they're tough guys on Twitter, or that we just don't see. But, and, you know, and everybody's like, oh, Stroman's probably too busy blocking people on Twitter. This is what he deals with every day. He can't escape it, both publicly and privately. So if he needs to block people on Twitter for his own mental health, then let him do that. That's not for us to judge.
Right. Like you're calling him soft and stuff like this for blocking people on Twitter, but like, are you dealing with like hundreds of messages in your DMs of people calling you the N-word every day? If you're not, then shut the hell up. Like, I don't know what to tell you. Like, he can block whoever he wants because he's dealing with a lot of shit.
Yeah. And he deals with crap. So you know what? Don't judge him for it. He can do whatever he wants. He doesn't owe you anything just because you're a fan.
Right. And like, people talk a lot about like, oh, like his attitude on the mound, his bravado. And like, I don't know, if I were Marcus Stroman and I was dealing with a shit ton of racism my whole life, like going back to, you know, growing up on Long Island, one of the most like segregated places in the entire country. And
which his dad just recently talked about too.
Exactly. His dad has spoken openly about it. And, you know, being an undersized pitcher and whose value was not properly valued during his time as a prospect, and like going to Duke and probably dealing with more of that shit. Like, yeah, I'd have a bit of a chip on my shoulder too. I'd be pumping my own confidence too, because I overcame all of that. Like, he should exude confidence on the mound because he does overcome all of that, and he did overcome all of that. So yeah, he can pitch with as much bravado as he friggin' wants.
And it makes him exponentially more fun too.
Right, exactly.
Like dancing on second after getting a double.
Oh my god, that little dance he did on second after the double yesterday was everything.
Like Vaz tweeted, he was like, give him like an extension for this dance alone.
Everything.
Like, he just, and then he took to Twitter again unprompted to just tweet how much like in awe he is of Jake. Like, he loves his teammates seem to love him, and we're just so lucky to have some. He's accessible. He popped up on Trevor May's vlog. He, you know, is always tweeting with Pitching Ninja. He's good for the game. He's good for growing the sport, and he genuinely wants to grow the sport too. And in a time where everybody thinks baseball is dying, we have to reach the kids. Marcus Stroman is one of the guys you want promoting the sport because he's just, you know, fun to watch. He's a good guy. He's a great role model for the kids you're trying to reach. So, you know, I don't know why people would, I mean, I do know why they would complain, but they really have no leg to stand on.
Yeah. And the Mets should extend Marcus Stroman, by the way.
Yes. that's imperative at this point.
Our very own Thomas Henderson wrote about on Amazing Avenue today. You should go read that article if you haven't already, because it's good, and the Mets should extend Marcus Stroman. And you should also read, I'd also like to shout out Chris McShane's article on the racist remark about Stroman by yes. Bob Brenly. He wrote a really great editorial about it on Amazing Avenue, about how Marcus Stroman's about how that comment about Stroman illustrates a real problem in baseball, which it does. Like, this is obviously, like, racism is not just a baseball problem, but this illustrates the fact that baseball is predominantly an old white man's game. And while it remains so, that these problems are going to continue. And while there is such a, you know, a wide gulf between the makeup of the players and the makeup of the people that cover them, this is going to continue to be a massive problem.
Yep. Yeah, I was going to say, because, you know, people keep assuming baseball is old white man sport. The commentary reflects that.
Yep.
They're like, every booth is basically old white men. How are you growing the game at that point, Manfred?
Yeah. Like, I mean, we heard today the mic'd up video with Francisco Lindor and like and yes, Eduardo Escobar, and like, more of that. I want to hear Francisco Lindor and Eduardo Escobar talk about the game. Like, that's what I want to hear more than Bob Brenly. I don't want to hear what Bob Brenly has to say. I want to hear what they have to say, because they're way more fun.
Way more interesting, too. Just from that, like, 5-minute clip, they were way more interesting than anything Bob Brenly had to say. I can guarantee you that.
Happy Sunday. Happy Sunday. It's Wednesday.
Oh, wait. It's Wednesday. That's just relatable content right there.
Like, if you don't listen to that video, which, by the way, we will link in, you know, the tweets and stuff for this episode. If you don't listen to that video and if you listen to that video and don't love Marcus Stroman, like, I mean, not Marcus Stroman, Francisco Lindor, I cannot help you. Like, I can't help you.
What also shocked me, too, was how chatty he was with the umpires. Like, he just seemed like he was bored and wanted to check. Like, he was like, oh, if we run out of mound visits and I visit the mound, what happens?
I get ejected? Me?
I get ejected? He was like, floor.
He makes friends with everybody. Like, yes. How can you not love him?
And there was something else he said, too. He kept saying they're not getting any or they're not getting any runs. It was something he kept repeating. I was like, oh, I really like that. But he said it in, like, Spanish.
Nobody gets anything today. Nobody gets anything
today. Yes, yeah. I really liked that.
Yeah. Yeah. Something like that. And I really loved Eduardo Escobar being like, it is a beautiful day in Arizona for play baseball. I was like, oh, my God, these men are amazing.
Oh, and that was the other thing, too. When Lindor was like, oh, it's nice today. He was like, when the Wyos to play in Texas by the third inning, I was like, take me out.
Take me out. He's like, they closed the roof. Oh, so good. Just the best. Mic up more players all the time, please.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they mic'd up the Mets that one spring training and they went viral because of how fun they were. Yep. That's what we need.
That's how you grow the game.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yep. But
the Mets judging are Marcus Stroman and Francisco Lindor, which is all it comes down to.
Absolutely. The Mets are somehow still playing well. They, in the past week, they, you know, won 2 out of 3 from the Diamondbacks, and the only game they lost in walk-off fashion, which was frustrating, but, you know, like, it was close. And they managed to salvage a split with the Padres after dropping the first two games. They managed to win the second two games, and, you know, all the games were close. Like, they basically played an even competitive series with one of the best teams in the National League. And if that isn't encouraging, then I don't know what is.
Yeah. They got Pete back, but they're still missing a good chunk of their lineup.
Exactly. And they're still fielding like half a triple A team, basically.
Yeah, and VR wasn't 100%. I don't think he started until what, Sunday?
I don't think he started at all.
Oh, he didn't. Okay.
I think he's starting. I think they're saying he's gonna start on tomorrow. He's gonna start. Sorry. We are recording this on Monday night, by the way. We usually record our podcasts on Tuesday nights, but I'm going to the game tomorrow night.
Yay!
So we're recording this on Monday night, June 7th, and you guys will probably hear it on Wednesday as usual. But yeah, I think he didn't start at all. I think he came in the game for
pinch hit, definitely.
He pinch hit, and then he stayed in the game, I think. I think, like, okay. That was like the next step. It's like, first he was only pinch hitting, and then he would like pinch hit and stay in the game, and then like tomorrow he's gonna actually like be back in the lineup starting for real. I think that was the progression. But yeah, VR like tweaked his hamstring and seemed to like avoid the IL, but he was out for a few days.
Yeah, so I guess they avoided the worst of it, but, you know, he's still not 100%. So, I mean, that was another blow. You know, you look at his numbers and they don't look that great, but he's still been a key contributor to this team while JD's been out.
Right.
So you can't keep, you know, stretching the depth as far as it could go until it snaps.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the Mets did, like you said, they did get Pete back and they got Kevin Pillar back. So they have like a couple guys back, but like after that, like no one's coming back for a while. They did manage to cut like some of the dead weight. Like when Pete and Pillar came back, they cut Cameron Maben, they cut Wilfredo Tovar, like some of those guys that, and Khalil Lee got sent down, like the guys that like straight up do not belong in the major leagues, they managed to get rid of. But they still have, like, they called up Mason Williams, who was like,
he's been okay.
he's been okay. Who's hitting the cover off the ball in AAA. He's been okay, not great, but like he's a bench player, but like, you know, the bar is better than Cameron Maben at this point, and he has met that bar. So there's that. And then instead of Wilfredo Tovar, they now have Travis Blankenhorn, who's been an improvement over Wilfredo Tovar. So like they have slightly better bench players now. And Brandon Drury and Billy McKinney's been great. He's an everyday player still, and will be until like Nimmo or Conforto come back. So, that is like set in stone. Like he looks like a major league player. Like
we're all kind of mad at him because he played a key role in blowing that Diamondbacks game.
Yes.
But other than that, I mean, what else could you really ask for him? He's been fine. Yep. One play isn't gonna. I mean, I really wish he didn't make that error, but
yeah. But I don't know. Like the run would have scored anyway. Yeah. I think so.
Thanks to T-Mobile for supporting this episode and for keeping baseball fans around the country connected to the game. Because when you're on America's largest and fastest 5G network, you get more than great coverage. You get to stay close to your favorite team, whether you're at home or on the road. In other words, T-Mobile is your ticket to the game. Make the switch to T-Mobile, the leader in 5G today. Fastest according to OpenSignal awards based on average speeds and USA 5G experience report, April 2021. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
Got money goals? NerdWallet's got your back with the smartest credit cards, mortgages, investing accounts, and more. Maybe you're looking to book that thrice-postponed honeymoon. NerdWallet can help you compare and find the smartest travel rewards card now so you can earn points towards that much-deserved trip. Or if you're thinking it's time for a bigger house now that your family is about to grow by exactly one bedroom, NerdWallet's got calculators and tools to help you find the smartest mortgage. And since your family is growing, it's probably a good idea to think about your child's future college plans, right? Well, NerdWallet's got your back with the smartest investing accounts for college funds and more. With side-by-side comparison tools, calculators, and more, NerdWallet can help you find answers to all of your money goals, big or small. From credit cards, mortgages, investing accounts, and more, NerdWallet can help you compare and find the smartest financial products for you. For all of your money questions, turn to the nerds at NerdWallet. NMLS 1617539.
But the Mets play at the Padres very competitively, and they maintain a 3.5 game lead in the NL East at this time. And DeGrom is like fully back now, and he's looks great. And it's still an absolute joy to watch him every fifth day. Like I can't even put into words how lucky we are to watch it. It's like it's how I imagine my parents must have felt watching Seaver. Yeah. Like just. This is what it's like to watch the greatest there's ever been at this. Like,
and he is right now.
He has the best ERA through 9 starts of any pitcher in baseball history.
Well, I kind of said it tongue in cheek, but also kind of serious. I tweeted something like, when do we start talking about this stretch that Jake's on with 99-2000 Pedro, which everybody thinks is like one of the greatest in, you know, history. But you know what? It deserves to be up there with 99-2000 Pedro.
We need to be having that conversation.
Yeah.
Because that's the level of dominance he's on now.
Right now, he's better than Pedro.
Yeah, right now, he's better than Pedro.
Was it 99 Pedro that they compared it to, or was it 2000, where it was Jake, Pedro, and Bob Gibson?
I think it was 99 Pedro in that graphic.
Like, and he was better than both of them through their first 9 starts of their historic seasons. So, I don't know. My brain can't comprehend. But it also, at the same time, you still kind of expect this from Jake, which is what makes it so strange. Like, this is just what he does. He doesn't get rattled. He doesn't get ruffled. He doesn't fall apart. He just goes out there and does his thing and makes the batter sit down.
Yeah.
But he's doing it just such a, like, an elite level now. And I guess, you know, the 100 miles an hour helps too.
Like, he was in his most recent start, especially, he was like sitting 101.
Yeah.
And I was like, what the hell, man?
I don't know if that was because he was rested or because, you know, he was off, you know, he had the 2 weeks off that he just kind of feels rejuvenated. But like, I think it was the first time in StatCast's previous start since they've been from, I don't know when they first started recording with StatCast, but that he was the first player ever to average 100 miles per hour with his fastball.
Yep. Yep.
Like, I don't know how he does it.
I don't know either. It's like,
like Steve Gelb said, you wish you had words, but you don't. There are no words to describe him anymore.
We're watching something otherworldly happening with him. And it's, I mean, and the other record that he is now chasing is he is with his most recent start, he moved up to fourth all time in career strikeouts as a Met. Now he's only behind Seaver, Gooden, and Kuzman, and all those dudes threw like way more innings as Mets than he has yet. Yeah. So like, and we're talking about, and he passed Sid Fernandez, who he has thrown way fewer innings than Sid. So he's already passed him in strikeouts. So it's something really special. Like, I don't know. It's like, again, you struggle to find something different to say, but I try not to take it for granted. Because, you know, as Gary Cohen always so promptly puts it, it's routine brilliance every week. And I just try to remember that this isn't something that you should just expect. This is something that you cannot take for granted. And I am awestruck every time I watch him pitch because he's so good. He's the best. He's the best there is. He's the best there is. He's the best pitcher in baseball and potentially might go down as one of the best pitchers that has ever thrown.
I know. Like, that's just cool. Like, and the fact that he's a Met, like, that
it's
people.
It's so cool. It's like, so cool, man.
That, like, other teams take notice, other players take notice, like, when they walk away shaking their heads. Kyle Freeland going, wow, after he struck out.
Like, when, like, you just get a million. And you just get a million pitching ninja gifts every time.
Or that one from last year when Freddie Freeman was just like, oh.
Yeah, like.
Like, he was so annoyed, and then he ended up shaking his head and like getting back in the box like, I have no chance at hitting this, but I gotta try.
Right It's just, he's just unhittable. Like, I don't know how anyone even fouls the ball off against him. Like, it's just, you know, I remain amazed by Jazz Chisholm, because he's the only one that's turned around one of those DeGrom fastballs like all year. Yeah. I feel like every other home run DeGrom has given up, or every other like hard hit ball DeGrom has given up this year, period, has been on some sort of mistake. Yeah. Like, he makes, you know, every pitcher makes like one or two mistakes a game at least. And, you know, with DeGrom, it's one or two minimum, and you just have to punish it when it happens because it won't happen again. But that home run he gave up to Jazz Chisholm was not a mistake. That was high heat that he was trying to strike him out on. And he turned it around and put it in the seats, which is incredible. Like, that's the only time I've ever seen that happen, which is how you know Jazz Chisholm is going to be a damn good baseball player.
Yeah. And also, I found it funny, too. He said he got tired in the seventh.
Yep.
And him tired is a 1-2-3 inning, two strikeouts, and striking out Will Myers on three pitches.
Yep.
That's Jacob DeGrom.
He was like,
tired.
Yep, I'm getting tired. And
I can't do this anymore, Skip. And what was really hysterical was I watched the pitching ninja gif of the Will Myers at bat, and he wasn't even close to hitting the ball. His bat was nowhere even, like, it wasn't even in the same zip code as the ball.
And he's so good, man.
Jake said he was tired.
Yep. And I mean, like, you know, it speaks to how special he is that he has the self-awareness to be like, yeah, I'm done. Like, I can't go another inning, which most pitchers would be like, send me back out there, coach.
But I think that's important too, that he's knowing more that he needs, they'll need him at the end of the year.
Yeah. He knows that he needs that extra day of rest sometimes. And you're at the, if you're the Mets, you give Jake whatever he wants.
Yep.
You make everybody else work around Jacob DeGrom's schedule. If he needs the extra day, he gets the extra day. If he can throw six innings, he throws six. If he can throw seven, he throws seven. Like he dictates, which not that not every player is afforded that luxury, because not every player is self-aware enough. Because usually I always say, I mean, this is a la Matt Harvey in the 2015 World Series. Like, not every player is self-aware enough. They're all competitors. They want, you know, they want to go out there. They want to be the guy that their team relies on. And you can't blame them for that. So it's up to the manager and up to the team to be the adult in the room and police them and be like, no, yeah, you're done, or you're going to get hurt. Jake is one of the few players who's self-aware enough that you just like listen to whatever he says about his own body.
And like he even said, I'd rather miss two starts than 2 months. So exactly. It seems like he's very in tune with his body. He knows what he can do and what he can handle. But at the same time, it's not a knock on Jake, because if it was October, he would be like, I'm going back out there.
Right.
Like, you would probably have to drag him from the mound, because you know, he doesn't show it, but Rojas says it, you know, the poor single A kids said it, his teammates say it. They're like, he's just one of the most competitive people out there. And
you can't have the success that he's had if you're not, you know.
If you're not, no. So he does have that mentality. And so I think he's the perfect balance of both of that just intense competitiveness that you want for the home stretch or October, but also being self-aware enough to be like, nope. Like, well, you saw him shake his head that one day when he was like, nope, can't do it. And they took him out of the game. So it's better to be smart now and for him to know that, so that come October, he knows I'll be there and I can get it done.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. The other point that I would be amiss.
Oh, and he's probably starting the All-Star game, right? We're in agreement about that.
It's a given. unless he gets hurt again, knock on
wood. No, don't even put that in the universe.
Unless something happens, yeah, absolutely. I think it's a given at this point. Like, who else? Like, you know?
Burns, maybe.
Were talking about this recently. Burns, I guess, yeah. And we were talking about this recently, like, if he continues, I can't imagine the, like, it's, I mean, we say this about Jake every time, that it would be impossible if he continued at XYZ pace that he's going and then he does it. So, like, who knows? But like, it's next to impossible that he will carry a 0.62 ERA for the whole season. But, you know, even if he doesn't do that, if he continues to carry something ridiculous, you know, like below 2 or whatever, then I imagine that he is a Cy Young lock. And like, if he locks up that third Cy, like, to me, I don't care if he retires at the end of this season. Like, he's almost a lock for the Hall of Fame at this point. Like,
yeah.
I know that he hasn't thrown that many innings compared to the other greats of this generation, the Kershaws, the Scherzers, the Verlanders, the Madison Bumgarners, like those guys. I know he hasn't thrown the number of innings that those guys have thrown, but he's already had, if this season continues the way it's continued and he pulls it through the end of the season, he's already had a Hall of Fame career essentially at that point.
Well, like, he's doing things that you just aren't seeing. He's pushing the sport forward.
Right.
He's found a way to throw 101 just by, like, pure mechanics, basically. Like, he even said, if I try to throw harder, I'm not going to be able to do it. I need to focus on, you know, having a clean delivery and, you know, having everything in sync. And that's where his power comes from. So, if he's the guide for future pitchers, you know, that to me is a game changer. Or if they end up, God, I hope not, but if they move the mound back a foot or, you know, whatever else they're fooling around with because he's too good, like they did with Bob Gibson.
Ugh.
Like, that's, like, you're so good they have to change the sport tells me something.
Yep.
And if that's not a Hall of Famer, I don't know what is.
Yep, exactly. Exactly. We're going to get back to that point in a minute, but I would be I would be amiss if I did not at least mention the fact, while we're still talking about the Mets, that Francisco Lindor and James McCann and Dominic Smith are all hot at the same time.
And which Pete, is, too. Pete a little bit, too.
And Pete, which is great to see. It, especially Lindor and McCann finally heating up.
McCann is unbelievable right now.
So good to see. And it's not just, you know, that they're seeing the ball well and that they're getting their hits. They're hitting for power, both of them, especially McCann. McCann hit 3 home runs last week.
Yeah.
Which is like after, you know, seeing him like barely be able to reach the warning track. Like it's
did
it's
he even do that? See. All I remember is ground balls.
He hit a lot of ground balls. He hit a lot of ground balls. He wasn't hitting the ball in the air like at all. But when he did, it was like, you know, even when he hit the ball like as hard as you thought he could hit it, it was like warning track power. But I'm glad that James McCann actually has power like we expected. That he
and he didn't turn into a pumpkin overnight.
Exactly. I mean, like, you know, there was always a debate about whether his adjustments that he made both on the hitting side and on the catching side, whether they were for real. And, you know, the fact that he started out so poorly made everyone question that. And also he's never been like a full-time catcher before, so you know all of these things made you question, but it kind of looks like he's at least on a hot streak. If he's not fully turned it around, then you know he's at least getting there. So that's
really
great.
They also did point out during the game that maybe it was a coincidence, maybe not, that he started hitting when he got moved to first base, so he didn't have to focus on the mental strain of catching every day. And that takes a lot out of you, having to be mentally in every pitch, every game, and then have to worry about hitting after that. And plus, he had to learn a whole new pitching staff, had to move his family. I'm sure he was dealing with a lot, and everything in his in spring training and the off season, his introductory press conference, it seemed like he was doing a lot of homework. So he was on the same page with these pitchers when spring training started. So it's, if he needed a mental break and if first base provided that, which he was actually fine at too.
Yeah. Amazingly. He did not, he looked like competent out there.
He did.
Which was great.
Yeah. So if that helped him relax a bit and now he can get back to hitting, then maybe they need to think about a platoon more with him and Nito, because they really were riding him for a long time. But Nito's, you know, Nito's still, I think, a backup, but he's not, but he'll still hit, I think.
Yeah.
I don't think he's just going to be, I don't think he's an everyday catcher, but he's completely fine as a backup.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And like, you know, this is the way it should, the way that it's played out with McCann and Nito these past few weeks is exactly the way it should play.
Uh-huh.
Nito got hot, he played. And then McCann got hot, now he's playing. That's exactly how it should work. Like, you know, it's good. The like the, Rojas, I mean, for all the things that Rojas has done wrong, like this is the thing he's doing right. Absolutely. The catching timeshare, he's doing it right.
And it seems they're both fine with it. Like when Nito was playing, he said James, they would like talk scouting reports. They would, you know, he said he would talk about him like facing when he was batting. He would even go to McCann and say, hey, what is this guy throw? Or he would go to him for tips. So it seems like they're completely fine. This is not a clubhouse that you're going to have issues in. It's just, right. They're not, that's not who these guys are.
Yeah, exactly. And it's been great to see. And like, it's good to see that, you know, even after his stint, like even after Alonso came back and McCann's stint at first base was over, like that his hot streak carried over. So it's not like, you know, first base was like solely responsible. So like, even if it might have been the spark plug, like it's carried over. So it's not like it was a fluke just because of that.
It might have just been like the thing that made it click, like, oh, right, that's how I hit. I forgot.
Right. Exactly. And, you know, Lindor, I was never, I mean, like, was it, you know, was it fun to watch like him struggle at the plate? No. But like, was I nervous that he like that an elite to good baseball player suddenly forgot how to play baseball? No. Like,
well, and then there was a stupid article. Was it? get a
what's
it.
Wrong with Francisco Lindor?
Yeah, where they called it a three-year slump.
Part 30 of a 33-part series.
I forget who wrote it. If they called it a three-year slump, and it's like, okay, 60 games is not, you. I don't think you can count that from last year. It was one bad month in 2019. Like, he finished poorly, but overall 2019 he had a good year, and then now like 2 months in 2021, that's not a 3 year slump.
No ridiculous.
That's maybe a year and a half, if that.
Yeah,
so, and like, everybody just calm down, jeez. And poor Lindor, when he was like, maybe when I get home they won't boo me anymore.
I hope they won't.
Yeah,
but can't they put never anything past these assholes.
They should have been booing to begin with.
I would, like, every single person who booed Francisco Lindor, you can personally catch these hands. Like, get out of here.
Well, even now, like, when they're like, oh, retweet to win a Lindor baseball, it's like, anybody who booed him should not be retweeting that.
You are not eligible per the contest rules.
No. Or if you've tweeted anything bad about him or bought up his contract, you do not get to retweet for a Lindor signed ball.
Nope. For Lindor stands only.
Yes. They should put that in the rules.
They should put it in the contest rules. Lindor stands only.
And that's all that needs to be said. Lindor stands. Oh, can we make that the podcast title?
Lindor stands only? Absolutely. Yes. Absolutely. It's really good to see the two biggest offseason acquisitions, like, you know, didn't forget how to play baseball. You know, it's fine. They're fine now. So hopefully that
needed,
will continue.
Too, honestly, on this road trip, they needed them to get hot.
Yep.
Because you could not continue to rely on McKinney, Drury. Yep. Like, they were fun for a while, but you need your big boys.
You need other guys. You need other guys to hit. So we'll see what happens. I mean, they play the Orioles now, and the Orioles are obviously in the basement. They're in the last place. They had lost, like, a lot of games in a row.
Weren't they, like, it was them and the Diamondbacks, kind of like.
Yeah. They had lost, like, a lot of games in a row. I can't remember how many it ended up being, like 12 or something. It was a lot. And so, you know, they're in the basement by a lot. They're not a good baseball team, but they do hit. Like, so the Mets can't sleep on them. They do hit. And they dropped a whatever, like 17 runs the other day. Like, they can hit. So we'll see what happens. The Mets get a reprise of the Matt Harvey matchup in this upcoming series, two-game series with the Orioles, but then they're right back at the Padres again. So,
I'd rather they not split with the Orioles, but even if they split, I think they still have a winning road trip.
Yep, that's correct.
So, and I would absolutely take that every time.
Because they're one game over 500 on the road trip now, so if they split, then that's one game over 500 on the road trip. We should try to aim to sweep.
Sorry, Birdland.
Sorry, Birdland. I love
you.
We
need the sweep.
I want them to win tomorrow because I'm going. David Peterson is looking to bounce back from his most recent outing, which was not positive. So we'll see what happens there. And then Matt Harvey obviously has not been good lately. Ever since his first start against the Mets, he's been poor. And so he will match up against, I think it's Taijuan Walker in the other game. And then Peterson against Bruce Zimmerman, who is arguably their best starting pitcher now that John Means is on the injured list. And
go on the injured list.
Yes. Bruce Zimmerman is like a fifth starter and he's like their best starting pitcher. So yeah, with the Orioles, it's about the hitting, and the pitching is what makes them bad. So the Mets hopefully will take advantage. We'll see. And then Padres again, so they better get ready. But they have the two off days this week that will help them manipulate their rotation the way they want. But then they're not off again for a long while and have many doubleheaders in June.
Who are the rest of the division playing? Are they all playing divisional games right now? Because I know the Phillies and Nationals were
just playing
each other.
The Marlins were playing the Pirates recently.
Yeah.
I can look. at the schedule for, I mean, so the Marlins are playing the Red Sox right now.
The Phillies are playing the Braves, I think, coming up. Yeah, tomorrow. The Phillies are home for the Braves.
Yeah, okay. Phillies, Braves. Yeah, Marlins, Rockies. So it's like a mix of Nats, Rays. So like some of the other teams are also playing AL East opponents, like the Mets are playing the Orioles.
Okay.
So we've got like that Red Sox series with the Marlins. And yeah, so like you've got some AL East, some interleague play and some divisional and then like some other NL. So it's not heavy division games this.
The Phillies Braves series is big for them since they're both battling it out for second place.
For second place.
It's weird to say right
both
now.
Both trying to scrape to 500.
Like, you're battling for second. How cute.
So we'll see. So we the second half of the show, the baseball segment this week, is, you know, and I said we would get back to the point about DeGrom and how what he's doing is really special. And, you know, there has been some discourse because MLB released its plan to enforce foreign substance use by pitchers, which has been, you know, a really, you know, widespread and highly discussed issue in baseball this year, because along with the new ball or like the baseball, like this is an era in which, or at least a year, I don't know if we can call it an era yet, but this year in which pitching has been utterly dominant, you know, offense is down across the league, batting averages are down, and you know, strikeouts are up, ERAs are down, like, you know, it's pitching dominant. And a big part of that has been that, you know, it's kind of a gentleman's agreement across the game that almost every pitcher's cheating, or at least it's like a pretty widespread, not almost every pitcher maybe, but like a like, you know, a large subset of the pitchers are using pine tar, tack, other sticky substances, rosin and sunscreen mixed together, whatever you want to call it, various sticky substances, to increase their spin rate, which is causing pitches to break really quickly and, you know, become basically unhittable. And so that's been, you know, a building, it's been coming to a head for a few years now. And finally MLB has said enough. Like, it's kind of becoming like the new steroid era where they're like, we're getting rid of this. Like, we're just getting rid of it. So they're going to start enforcing. I mean, it was already illegal to use these things. It's just that, like, the teams kind of were left to police each other on it, and like they don't, because they know if like if our team calls out the other team, then they're just going to call out our guys we know are cheating. So no one's been calling out the other guys. But now MLB has been saying starting June 14th, pitchers will randomly be checked as they leave games, about 8 to 10 random checks per game. And if the pitcher is found to be using foreign substances, the pitcher will be landed with a 10-day suspension without pay.
Well, and even Mike Schilt brought that up when he had his player's hat removed and then he got ejected from the game.
Yep.
He was like, you're cracking down on the wrong things. Like, you should be looking for, like, you know, the true illegal stuff that, like you said, increases sprint rate, but you want to keep the stuff that affords these guys some measure of control too.
Right.
Which we saw with Pilar. Anything, like, I would think from a player's perspective, another reason why they don't say anything is you want the guy on the mound hurling a 95-mile-an-hour ball at you to have some measure of control. So
right,
I don't
exactly
think the players are complaining about sunscreen.
Right, exactly. Like, you know, the new ball is by all accounts, like, harder to grip. It's, like, smoother.
Yeah.
And so, like, the pitchers are throwing harder than ever, and so they're having trouble controlling it. And we've talked about this on the podcast before. It's like a huge issue, and it gets people hurt, as we saw with Kevin Pillar. And so I think, you know, the players are fine with pitchers doing what it takes to be able to grip the baseball, but when you take it to a certain extreme, then you've got guys who are middling to mediocre starting pitchers becoming all-stars. And that's what they want to prevent, is guys just like using this stuff to just like blatantly make a mockery of the game, like just like smothering pine tar all over the baseball. And like, basically your hand is like, looks like freaking you dunked it in a can of maple syrup. Like, that's what they're trying to prevent. And I think that that is warranted. I hate this cheating. I think it's a scrouge on the game. Like, it's terrible.
Also, like, you know, you called out the hitters for trying to get an advantage with the Astros. It's the same deal, basically. You're at a, hitters are at a distinct advantage as is, and now you're just making it 10 times even harder to hit a baseball. And right. When you also do it because you know your contract is coming up and you want to get paid, you might want to, you know, get a little edge, which other people did.
Right.
But Trevor May had a point, and I'm trying to find his tweet, because he was talking about this, and Trevor May is really interesting. Like, he knows the game and likes talking about the game.
Yeah.
So, let me, now it's all his CHIRV tweets. I got to get through the CHIRV.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we didn't mention that in the Mets segment, but note number infinity in the Mets are fun ledger. We have the new Mets celebration, which is like, apparently the new Mets celebration is they flash like two like okay signs with their hands, where you put like your pointer finger on top of your thumb and you do the A-okay, and they put the two A-okays up and they like move their arms up and down. And apparently the source of that is that they want Joey Lucchese's CHIRV to be recognized as like an official pitch on the scoreboard, so that it doesn't say curveball every time he throws a pitch. It'll say CHIRV. So the thing is also like a CH, so it's supposed to, so every time they put up the A-OK, it's like CHIRV, CHIRV, CHIRV. And so they've been tweeting like CHIRV in all caps over and over with like a million of those like A-OK emojis. So it just says like CHIRV, 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 CHIRV.
And then the Mets account starts tweeting it.
And everyone is tweeting it. It's amazing. This is so fun, you guys.
Well, it was also Lucchese's birthday, so I don't know if that had something to do with it too. Because
yeah,
Stroman possibly did say, give my boy Lucchese some love, it's his birthday.
I just like love how this team supports each other. It's
like,
so
we
awesome.
Talked about this before we started recording. Like, they split a big series with the Padres, like the first place Padres, and they take to Twitter afterwards to tweet CHIRV, CHIRV, CHIRV,
CHIRV, CHIRV, CHIRV, CHIRV, CHIRV.
And to defend Jake.
And to defend Jake, which I was getting to in this segment. So yes. Like, now, like, a big thing, and this is already old, like, I already hate it, like, it's been happening for like 2 days and I'm already over it. So like, the new thing now that we know that MLB is going to be enforcing this stuff is that like every single like rando on Twitter is a detective now. And so they like people will just post like grainy videos of their TV, like when they're watching baseball games, and every time a pitcher like touches his glove or goes to his belt, they're like, this dude's cheating. And so of course a random like Dodgers fan, and of course like
it's a Dodgers fan
of all things, it's like, you have the most blatant obvious cheater on your team, like, who are you to talk shit? Of course a random Dodgers fan like tweets a video of DeGrom and is like, of course they'll go after Bauer and Cole but not Jacob DeCheats. And everybody's just like, dude, like, no, what is wrong with you? And everybody's asking him, and of course, like, he just like totally didn't like he just like dropped that tweet and walked out, basically, of course, because he's a coward. And yep. So basically everybody in the replies is like, please provide like any sort of evidence other than like he adjusted his belt one time, which is something that he does after every pitch and has been doing his entire career because he's skinny and his pants are too big. But
yeah,
like,
somebody actually found him from 2014 doing the same thing.
Literally the same
pick.
Thing. Like, he's constantly adjusting his belt because his pants are too big. And like, and even if like, and listen, like, we have no evidence one way or the other. And I'm not going to pretend, I'm not going to sit here and be like, DeGrom is clean. There's no way that he's cheating. Like, I'm not going to pretend that there's like, cause it's very widespread. I'm not going to pretend that there's nothing, but what I will say is that the data do not support the accusation, because when you see dudes who are obviously using like the pine tar and the very obvious, like tacky stuff, like Bauer, who basically admitted to doing it, more or less, and Cole, you look at their spin rates and they have this like sharp spike, and it's very obvious. With DeGrom, that is not the case. And spin rate is not what causes him to be elite. It's the fact that he's like added velocity every single year, like a freak of nature. But like sticky stuff doesn't help you throw harder.
No, which is what Yamamoto tweeted. I was like, you go, Yamamoto.
Like, yeah. And so the entire team, like, so this rando Dodgers fan like posted the video and was like, Jacob DeCheats, and it's like, wow, you're so clever. Please tweet more jokes. Mets players found this tweet, I guess, because it got enough attention from like the Mets, from Mets Twitter. And so I forget like who started the thread. Was it Stroman?
It was Nito.
That's right. Oh yeah, Nito, because like obviously his catcher. So Nito like quote tweeted it, was like, can confirm that like the GOAT doesn't use any substances. If he did, then you wouldn't be able to even foul the ball off against him. And then he like tagged the next guy in line.
It was McCann.
I think it was McCann. Like, can you confirm? And McCann was like, can confirm that the GOAT doesn't cheat. CC, like Marcus Stroman. And Stroman was like, yeah, he's the GOAT always. Like, he doesn't cheat. CC, Taiwan Walker. May. And it was just went on and on down Taiwan the line. Walker. It was like six different Mets were just like, Jacob DeGrom does not use foreign substances. So it was amazing. Like, they just came out en masse to be like, shut the fuck up. He's not cheating. Like, and I mean, like, so.
And Yamamoto jumped in too without being CC'd.
Exactly, being like, sticky substances don't make you throw 101, bro, like which is amazing. And so like I like to believe that, like, so obviously the data already showed that it's unlikely that he's at least doing the very blatant like pine tar stuff that like Bauer and Cole are doing. And you know, I like to think that these players are not stupid and are self-aware enough to know that if he was doing it, they wouldn't vehemently be denying it en masse on Twitter, because yeah, then they would look really freaking stupid if he got caught. So I think, you know, like,
because it was completely unprompted. Nito did not have to quote retweet that. Like,
no, not at all. No one made him say that. He clearly like wanted to set the record straight on it. And so, you know, am I going to pretend that Jake doesn't use like maybe a little rosin mixed with a little sunscreen? Sure, whatever. But it's pretty clear that he's not doing the blatant stuff that they're really looking to crack down on. That's really giving pitchers an advantage beyond just like being able to grip the ball, the like spin rate stuff. Spider tack or whatever they're calling it. What's yeah, that thing? There was like
for like lifting
for strongman.
Yes.
It's like when you're lifting like heavy stuff and you need to be able, and like the thing that's actually limiting you from being able to lift it is not your actual like arm strength, it's your grip on said mm-hmm. thing. And so they create these like super sticky substances for strongman competitions and lifting, and apparently it's been repurposed for baseball, and the guy that like invented it for strongman didn't even know that like all these pitchers are using his like, patented whatever it is, spider tack or whatever they call it. Yes, yeah, spider tack, that's what it's called.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was an Athletic article about this today.
Yeah, I thought I saw something.
Yeah, spider tack represents the logical extreme in an arms race for better spin and nastier movement that has gone to this point unchecked by the league. Until a crackdown comes, spider tack is still one smear on the artist's palette that is a pitcher's glove. Pine tar, a sunscreen rosin mixture, and bubblegum spit are more commonly used, but spider tack is easy to hide and wickedly effective. It's almost too sticky. It takes WD-40 or baby oil to get it off your fingers.
Oh,
like imagine having something that freaking sticky. Like, ugh. Of course your spin rate is like ridiculous.
Oh, yeah, like something stupid.
Well, because because the ball is like fucking super glued to your hand.
Your hand. Like, the ball was stuck on Molina's chest protector that time.
Yeah. And they, for the record, they're gonna check position players, too, for this. Because, you know, like, the catchers can be doctoring the balls and then throwing them to their pitchers. So they're also going to check position players. It's not just going to be pitchers. So
yeah, Trevor May basically said, check the blatant people and then problem solved, because he thinks they're creating a bigger issue than there is actually one.
Right. Yeah. Which he has a point. I tend to agree with that. Like, I can't pretend to know, like, I have no inside sources on this, and like, I'm not a baseball player and I don't know baseball players. So like, I can't pretend to know like how widespread the actual problem is, but like, I think that it's widespread enough that it is a problem that they should police and start enforcing the rules that are already there. But I think most pitchers just want a level playing field.
Yeah.
And I mean, that is what Trevor Bauer is saying now as like his excuse. And so he's like, he's clearly like making himself out to be some martyr. Like, I just wanted a level playing field. It wasn't fair that other guys were doing this, so I started doing it. And this is all I've wanted all along, was to call attention to the issue. It's like, you want to get fucking paid.
Yeah, and he did.
You want to get the bag, and you got the bag. Congratulations. Like,
yep, I was going to say, your timing was a little suspect there, dude.
Like, now just stop talking forever. Like, I'm sorry, man. Like, if you want to act like some martyr and be like, ooh, the league is only focusing on me. It's like, yeah, when you have your girlfriend trot out there and, like, legalized pine tar mm-hmm. t-shirts on Instagram. Like, yeah, I think the league's going to focus on you.
I was going to say, like, you can't complain when you made it so obvious. Like, this is what you wanted. You wanted the attention. Here's that attention you ordered, Bauer.
Yeah, like here's one order of attention. Congratulations. Now you have a 10-day suspension and a fine.
Which you can afford to pay, so quit right. your bitching.
And there's all this video of Bauer's most recent outing where, like, he has yes. no control over his pitches at all because he clearly stopped using the stuff because he's
getting and that his now. Spin rate was like the lowest it's been in like years.
It's just so blatant. Like with him and Cole, like yep. those were the two. Like their spin, like they both had starts recently where their spin rate was like dramatically down again. It's like, yeah, because they're gonna catch you, and so you stopped using the thing.
But Jake remained the same.
Because
he's and oh, and Bauer's and giving up it. More home runs this year. Oh, I wonder why.
Yeah, like all of a sudden there's video of him, like, you know, throwing a pitch like high inside to Acuna because he can't control shit anymore without his pine tar. Well,
somebody, there was a tweet. I can't remember who tweeted it, but it said like Bauer had like plus 300 RPMs on his fastball. Cole had like plus 200, and then Jake had like plus 72. It's yeah. like he's nowhere close to what they were doing.
Right. Like he was his spin rate has increased, but like, you know, like gradually, like slowly. Not yeah,
it
like
wasn't a in a 3 month span like yeah. some other people.
Right. So it's just like, come on, man. I don't know. I mean,
I think I retweeted it. Let me see if I can.
It's June 14th that they're starting it. And, you know, I was talking to my dad about this recently, and he was saying, like, you know, these pitchers can't pretend the league blindsided them with this. They did the right thing and said, starting this date, we're going to start policing it.
Yeah, so they give them 2 weeks notice.
You better get your house in order before then. Like, if you want to, like, quick stop using it and get used to it before you get caught, then fine. But if you want to keep using it, you've been given plenty of notice. And when you get caught, don't get surprised.
Okay.
It's not like they like sprung it on them.
No. Average spin rate difference on all. This is from Mets Metrics. That's the Twitter account. Average spin rate difference on all pitches from 2017 per Statcast. Trevor Bauer plus 547 RPM. Gerrit Cole plus 313 RPM. Jacob deGrom plus 72.
Yep.
One of these things is not like the other.
Exactly.
And also, so, yeah. I think he just gets it from adding velocity. Like, that's just a natural.
Right. Like, your increase. RPMs are going to increase when you throw harder, too.
Yeah. So then that just kind of went hand in hand with that. Cole yeah. and Bauer are probably still throwing about the same velocity, but their RPMs have increased exponentially.
Right.
Like, exactly. That didn't go hand in hand.
Right. And like you can with legal means, like, you know, optimize your delivery and correct imperfections in your motion and get a little boost, but like that'll only get you so far. Like you can't, yeah. There comes a certain point where you like literally can't spin the ball any better, like without, you
without
know,
help, without which help. Trevor Bauer himself proved.
Yes. Like, and has like openly discussed.
Yep.
So, you know, here we are. There so it'll be interesting to see what happens with this. I'm glad the league is cracking down on it because it was getting kind of absurd. So we'll see what happens with it. It'll be interesting to see who gets popped and who doesn't.
Well, and there was also that video of Darvish doing something.
Yeah. And like, you know, I'm sick of that. Like everybody's posting videos now every time a pitcher touches his glove. It's like, yeah, okay, fine. So we'll see who gets caught and who doesn't. It'll be interesting. Before we move on to walk-off wins, I did feel it was, you know, important to mention that June is Pride Month, and that means that on cue, teams and Major League Baseball will trot out all this rainbow merch without actually doing anything about LGBTQ representation in baseball. And it's been kind of disheartening to see how Pride has become this, like, capitalist rainbow nightmare.
It's a marketing campaign.
Exactly. It's a marketing campaign now. It's just they like slap a rainbow on a thing and then they sell it. And it's just like, that's not what this is supposed to be about.
Well, and I got kind of annoyed because the Giants actually did a good thing. They took the field with the rainbow merchandise, but they actually wore it. And to see players wearing it makes a difference, I think. But then they sent Gabe Kapler's hat to the Hall of Fame. Out of all the Giants, you pick Gabe Kapler's hat to send to the Hall of Fame.
Yikes.
That irks me.
Yeah, that does not sit well.
No.
Does not sit well. They could have made a better choice.
No, and one of the players actually, I'm sorry that I forget what player it was, but he spoke very openly about how important it was. So why couldn't you take his hat and send it to the Hall of Fame?
Right. And so, it's like, yeah, like all the baseball teams have rainbow avatars right now, but how many, you know, like out
are backing it up?
How many out gay players are there in Major League Baseball?
Like, and there's the Mets with Chick-fil-A still out in right field.
Mets are like gay pride, and then they have like freaking Chick-fil-A ads on their stadium. I mean, they don't have the foul poles anymore, but they still have Chick-fil-A sponsorship.
It's above the bullpen.
Yep, it's above the bullpen. Chick-fil-A, the like one of the most like anti like LGBTQ companies that exists. So, like, it's just like, stop with the empty words and gestures. Like, back it up with action, please. Like, it's ridiculous. Like, you know, actually, like, hire LGBTQ people to like have jobs in your organization. Actually, like, you know, don't support companies that are homophobic and transphobic. Like, it's not that hard.
I thought they did a good thing last month. They ran a Stop Asian Hate PSA, which I was actually, you know, kind of impressed they were proactive about that. But now they've done nothing for Pride Month either.
Right.
So I don't know if they're just like doing stuff that's like the buzzword at the time, or if there was actually meaning behind it, if they actually meant what they were saying. But, you know, now they're not backing it up again.
Right. And like, until Major League Baseball is like a welcoming environment for all gender identities and all sexualities, like, I don't want to hear it from them.
No.
Just wanted to shout that
avatar,
out.
Cool avatar, though.
Cool rainbow avatar. Internet points for you.
Yeah.
So I just felt that was worth mentioning. But happy Pride Month to all of our LGBTQ listeners.
Are they having a Pride Day again?
The Mets?
Yeah, I know they did a few years ago.
They are. I know they're doing a like one of. They just released their promotion schedule for June, and one of the days there's a Pride T-shirt.
No.
So I don't know if that's also a Pride Day,
okay,
or not. But they did do one in the past.
They did. It was also Thor bobblehead day, so of course it got lost, but they did they did do it. I was there.
Let's not water it down with like this other thing. That'd be nice.
Which they absolutely did, but
so it might be that they are doing that promotional item in like, you know, to match up with Pride Day, but I don't know if that's actually a thing or if it's just that, you know, they picked a day in June because June is Pride Month. But we'll see, I guess. I hope the Mets have a Pride Day. If they don't, then I will write them an email about it.
Yes.
But yeah, we will end the show this week, like we do every week, with walk-off wins, where each of us talks about something that is making us happy this week, baseball related or otherwise. Linda Cervich, what is your walk-off win for this week?
My walk-off win is yesterday I got to see for the very first time my niece's dance recital.
Yay!
In the past, they could only get limited tickets, so I was never able to go to any of her recitals. And of course, there was the whole pandemic. So this was the first time I've actually gotten to see her dance. Like, I've only seen her video. And my sister said she was excited, that she wasn't nervous. But when she got out there, she did hip hop, tap and ballet, and you could tell. I even asked her afterwards and what was her favorite, and she said hip-hop, and you could tell hip-hop was her favorite. She got so into it, and then she danced to The Greatest Showman and Colors of the Wind, so of course now I'm crying. And she had to leap in Colors of the Wind, where like they each got like their own like individual leap, and you could see her like really gearing up for it. And she like really ran and then jumped. Like a couple of the other girls just like a little hop, but she made sure she leaped across that stage.
And so, darn right.
Yeah. It's like, you go, Emily. So it was just a proud aunt moment. And I asked her, I was like, did you feel like a rock cat up there? No. I was like, no, why? So I think she just got overwhelmed afterwards, but you know, she definitely did a good job for a 7-year-old in her like first big dance recital. And like, they did it in, it's a historic theater. It's called the Paramount in Peekskill. And so, you know, it's this huge theater, and you know, there was a good amount of people. They limited it, social distance and all that. And it's also just nice going there to an event.
Yeah, for real.
Yeah, I can't remember the last time I sat in a theater. So I was like, wow, I'm actually at an event, like watching something on a stage. Like, this is kind of incredible. But they also had these little 3-year-olds. I think my nephew might have a girlfriend, because he kept saying, where's Annika? Is Annika going? So Annika, she was in the 3-year-old group, and they danced Under the Sea. It was so cute.
My goodness.
They just kind of like bounced up and down. They got the biggest cheers of the entire night. They danced to Under the Sea and Be Our Guest. So they had like little yellow dresses on, so they all looked like little Lumieres. It was so cute. But and then the older girls, the high school girls, danced to I'm a Survivor by Beyonce, and they were incredible. Yeah, so it was like hell yeah, girl power. So everybody, it was just a wonderful event. Proud aunt. I hope Emily seemed to have a blast with it, and she's sticking with it. She really likes doing it.
That's great.
Yeah, so way to go, Emily. And I was glad I finally got to go too. So, and hopefully Danny's little girlfriend Annika sticks with it too.
Good luck to him and to Annika.
And Annika.
Congratulations.
The little 3-year-old crush. Yeah.
Little 3-year-old crush. So my walk-off win is that I'm going to the game tomorrow.
Yay!
I was supposed to go to my first game since the pandemic, like, you know, a couple weeks ago. And then that game got rained out. And so, boo. I mean, I was always planning to go to this game, but now this game is actually going to be my first baseball game after the pandemic. I'm a little sad that my first game after, you know, since 2019 is not going to be at Citi Field, but it'll be at Camden Yards, and that's like the next best thing for me because that's like my second baseball home besides Citi Field. So I'm very, very excited for tomorrow night's game. I'm like, I told my boss, like, I'm logging on at 7 a.m. and I'm logging off at 3 p.m. Is that cool? And like, that's what I'm doing for work tomorrow. So I could get off early so we can get to the game nice and early. Please, all of our listeners, although by the time that you hear this podcast, I guess it'll be irrelevant because it'll be Wednesday by the time you hear this podcast, but like, please, please pray to the rain gods for me.
Good vibes.
Good vibes only, because like my first game got rained out and there are thunderstorms in the forecast for tomorrow. And I think that if I have two straight baseball games canceled that I was supposed to go to, that would have been my first baseball game since 2019, I might actually turn into the female Joker. So please, for the love of God, I don't want it to rain.
We don't want that.
I think like my latest check of the weather, which I've been checking like every hour because I have agita about it. It like, you know, I think the thunderstorms will be like past by the time game starts. So I hope so. But yeah, I'm so excited. Like Mets Orioles is like my happy place, you know, at Camden Yards. It's going to be a great time. I hope David Peterson makes it past the first inning this time.
Thank you. What happened? I mean, he only has up to go.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, it can only be better than his last start.
I mean, he can't get much worse than only one out in the first inning.
No, it's pretty impossible. So you know, either way, like win or lose, Michael and I will be ingesting an absurd amount of crab fries, and I can't wait. I'm so excited. So yeah, that's my walk-off win for this week. In the meantime, you should go to AmazingAvenue.com, check out all of our fantastic content. Like I said, we've had a couple of really good editorials go up over the past week or so. Chris McShane wrote that really awesome article about Bob Brenly and Marcus Stroman and how this is a problem in baseball. You should absolutely read that. You should also read Thomas Henderson's article about why the Mets should extend Marcus Stroman. That's also a great piece. And we also have, as always, we have game recaps for you. I have your position player and pitcher meters every single week. We have Mets Morning News for you every single day. So go to AmazingAvenue.com, check out all of that fantastic content. You can follow Amazing Avenue on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Amazing Avenue. You can follow this show on Twitter at A Pod of Their Own. You can follow each of us on Twitter. I am at Petite PhD. Where are you, Linda?
At Linda Serpich.
You should rate and review the podcast, subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your podcasts from, and leave a review. It really helps people find the show. The original intro and outro music to this podcast is by Bunga. Let's go Mets. And don't forget, there is no crying in podcasting.
Problem solvers, thought leaders, and opportunity creators everywhere know that smarter technology doesn't just help us solve those problems and create those opportunities. It also helps us transform the way we live, learn, and work. You're doing big things, and Lenovo can help with high-performing, adaptable technology like the world's first folding PC and lighter, thinner ThinkPads like the X1 Nano and X1 Titanium for innovators on the move. They're all equipped with the Intel Evo platform because Lenovo knows that high performance comes from within. Learn more at lenovo.com/x1.